Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and we're recording outside Frimd High School in Palatine. It is the beginning of a new academic year, and there are a lot of challenges for public school students who adhere to Christian values or even just common sense values. Here to talk about that is Vicki Wilson with the grassroots organization D211 Parents for Privacy. Vicki, for instance, in District 211, there are co-ed restrooms and locker rooms, but this is becoming policy in more and more public schools in Illinois and around the nation. So if co-ed is in their school, what can students do to protect their privacy?
Well, what they can do is ask the administration for accommodations outside the locker room. So when we've had students do that, unfortunately, they were not provided the same accommodations as the transgender students. But that is certainly something they can do. They do absolutely, the students and the parents need to make their voices heard, and they need to keep speaking out about this. If the administrators think that we are giving up this fight, they couldn't be more wrong.
But if students do raise their concerns about this and want to be accommodated, maybe this should be part of the conversation for their parents too with the school administrators.
Absolutely. So one thing also parents need to remember is that they have local school board members whose job is to represent all of the people in the community. And so they need to find out, if they don't know already, who their school board members are and contact them. And if they won't listen to them, then parents need to remember that there are school board elections every 2 years. And so we just had an election in 2017. There will be another one in 2019. So parents need to get people who are willing to protect the dignity and privacy of all children elected to our school boards. That's the most important thing.
Now, when you say election in 2019, is that for just District 211 or other school districts?
I believe that would be statewide. I think statewide all the school boards are elected every 2 years in odd-numbered years.
Well, for some students who would prefer separate accommodations, they get ridiculed, laughed at because of their position and because they want their privacy, essentially. What do you say to those kids?
So, as somebody who has spoken out on this issue and been called many names, I just say, stay strong. Remember that we don't hate anybody by any stretch of the imagination. We care about all children. We honestly, truly do. And we just need to keep speaking the truth with compassion. And don't give up, and know that God is ultimately in control, but we need to keep speaking out on this issue. And your privacy absolutely matters, as does every child's.
How has federal policy regarding school locker rooms and bathrooms changed since Donald Trump came into office?
Since the Trump administration took over, they have since rescinded the Obama federal guidance that said school districts have to allow this access or be threatened with the removal of federal funds, which is what happened to our district. The Obama administration threatened to remove our federal funding or withhold it. So that threat no longer exists with the Trump administration. But so that's excellent news, but we need to keep watching them carefully, because some of the things coming out of the Office of Civil Rights within the Department of Education are less reassuring. But at least the threat of financial withholding of money is gone, at least as of now.
But individual school districts, such as District 211, are still free to adhere to the old Obama administration directives.
Right. So currently these decisions within Illinois are up to the individual school districts, and that power ultimately resides with the board. The superintendent reports to the Board of Education, not the other way around. So it truly is up to the individuals elected to the school boards in our state.
Vicki, you kind of touched on it. I think a lot of people may feel that the bathroom privacy fight in schools has been lost, and it's only a big issue for a relatively few very conservative kids and their parents. What's your response to that?
I would say it's not lost. I think the pendulum has swung so far to one side that we are maybe feeling like it's lost, but It hasn't by any means. Our lawsuit is still going forward, and we just need to keep educating people on what the consequences of these policies are, what these policies really mean for their children. I think a lot of people are still in the dark, so we can't lose a battle when we haven't even gotten all the soldiers ready yet.
Well, you mentioned your lawsuit instigated by Parents D211 against the district.
So our case is still active. We have released the federal defendants, the Department of Justice and the Department of Education, because they have rescinded the Obama guidance. But our case moves forward against the district because their policy remains that the bathrooms are open and that they stand by access to the locker rooms as well. So we are moving forward. We still have 50 plus families in our lawsuit, which makes our case different than many of the other cases out there that you may have heard about. And so thankfully, as long as the great folks at Alliance Defending Freedom are pushing forward on our behalf, we're still moving forward.
How optimistic are you?
I'm optimistic that as we educate more people and as more and more of these unreasonable and unconstitutional demands are made and they affect more families directly, that more people will realize that what we're trying to do is protect the privacy, dignity, and well-being of all children equally.
Vicki, State Representative Tom Morrison has introduced what you consider to be common sense legislation that addresses bathroom and locker room issues in schools. It's legislation I know you support, and in the interest of full disclosure, you work for Representative Morrison. But why do you think that's a good bill?
It's important that the parents in our state of these minor children, that they have some amount of reassurance when they drop their kids off at school every morning, that their privacy is going to be respected in these private spaces. The emotional safety of children in these intimate spaces is incredibly important. And so it's just very basic common sense that this decision isn't made district by district, that it's a statewide policy, that all children are protected. And we do believe that children who are struggling with their gender identity should be provided an accommodation so that they aren't forced into a place where they're uncomfortable, but we just don't want the other students' privacy violated in the meantime.
Well, as you know, the ACLU says a separate accommodation is just not good enough. That's not equal protection under the law.
So what I would say is these private spaces are based on anatomy and biological sex. Everyone is treated the exact same. For example, in our district, they hired a gender identity consultant from Lurie Children's who taught us that there are up to 900 gender identities, up to 900, and that these gender identities can fluctuate from week to week, that gender is fluid. So you cannot make public policy for private spaces when these decisions this access is based on what's someone's feeling from week to week. The children and parents of this state have every right to know that these spaces are based on biological sex and anatomy. It's just common sense.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with Vicki Wilson outside Friend High School in Palatine after this.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at malcbaker.com.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ working in the lives of His people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Once again, thank you for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by Vicki Wilson, D211, Parents for Privacy, based out of Palatine. The challenges facing kids in public schools go beyond restrooms and locker rooms. There's a lot of indoctrination going on, as you're well aware, regarding sexuality, the redefinition of marriage, even what's being taught in history classes, if they teach history. What can students and their parents do, especially at the outset of the academic year, to have their concerns addressed?
What I would recommend to parents is to talk to your kids' teachers, get to know them, find out what they're going to be studying, what they're going to be reading, what books they're going to be reading in English class, and keep the lines of communication open with your child every single day. Try and talk to them and find out what they learned, what they discussed, and it's a job, but it's worth it in the end. You have to sometimes, unfortunately, undo what they've learned or add to it. Because even though our district, like most districts, I imagine, have a policy that, especially with regard to controversial issues, that both sides are presented, I have found that not to be the case here at Fremd High School. So it's incredibly important. Also, we have iPads, like a lot of schools do, so we don't have papers sitting on our dining room tables. So you have to log in to whatever your school district's their program is and see if you can access the books that way. And if not, talk to the teachers. And if you disagree with the teacher on something and they're unwilling to listen to you, then you can go to the department chair. But you don't want to jump to the department chair before starting with the teacher. You do the chain of command. And then because I did this, unfortunately, freshman year, my son's 6 weeks into freshman year, and the class was given something really sexually graphic to read in English class. And so I did the chain of command, went up, from the teacher to the department chair to the principal. And unfortunately, because I was the only parent they had heard from, they just said, well, we'll take your feelings into account. But you need to get to know other parents as well, so you're not the only voice in the wilderness.
Well, there are also concerns about speakers that are brought into the public schools. They'll always seem to accommodate some left-wing Marxist type, but a conservative speaker, that speaker is just too controversial.
Right, absolutely. There is a lot of bias, unfortunately, in our schools. There's a lot of what they say their opinions are now facts. And so it's really important that you band together with other parents. It's harder to discount a group of parents than it is one. And they will often say that you are the only one they heard from, even when it's not the case. They will say that, and then unless you can come back and say, oh no, I know Sally and Mary also emailed you on this.
You had to be the squeaky wheel.
Yeah, you do, and it can be difficult, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, especially with regard to with many issues. We've gone past accommodation to intimidation, where folks with Christian worldview and are being intimidated into silence. And so it's a tough thing, but it's absolutely worth it in the end, because what your kids learn the 4 years, especially they're in high school and before that in elementary school, it can stick with them unless you are right there by their side teaching them otherwise.
Well, as you know, a lot of Christian parents have given up on the public schools. They've decided to homeschool their kids or send their kids to a Christian school. But for many parents and their children, it's simply not an option. How can these students make the most out of their public school, government school experience?
You're right. It is very hard. in Illinois with our incredibly high property taxes for parents to pay, you know, the property taxes, and then on top of that to pay for private school. So these kids just need to find each other at the schools. They, you know, there are clubs, you know, there's a club here at Fremd on Thursday mornings where you can find, you just need to find like-minded kids and families. And so you can stick together the years that you're in the public schools and stay active in your church and in your youth group. Find role models outside of the public school, your parents, obviously, and then other adults that you can talk to.
We hear a little noise in the background. We're recording this interview with Vicki Wilson outside Fremd High School. Do you think, Vicki, that school choice and education choice initiatives could help make the public schools, the government schools, more accountable to the concerns raised by parents?
Absolutely. I think school choice is incredibly important. It's an issue, you know, for us here in Palatine because we have the majority of our school board members here, as in most places, that are not willing to listen to the concerns of Christian parents. And for kids in low-income communities who are stuck in schools where there's no hope for them, really. School choice, access to education is a basic civil right, and to deny children access to the best school for them is unforgivable.
Vicki, as you mentioned earlier, conservative candidates in the recent District 211 school board race lost to liberals. Why do you think that happened?
So, you're right. We had three fantastic, highly qualified parents run for our school board here this year in 2017. They ran an excellent, honest campaign, and they ended up all losing to two incumbents and one former incumbent. One of the main reasons is that there was a lot of outside money that came into our community. Two super PACs were formed for this election. Super PACs, you think, would not be involved in a local school board election, but because this election did get national attention, we had two super PACs get formed who brought in just so much money from outside our community, and they proceeded to spread lies about, just outright lies about our candidates. And unfortunately, I mean, it was a pretty close race, especially for that third spot. But we just had too many people in our community who bought the lies and didn't do their own research. And they just fell for what was on that mailer that came into their mailbox. And because of the money, they could send out a lot of mailers. And we're also up against the teachers union, like we are every 2 years. But the outside and PAC money was a big deal. And actually, what's interesting is we had a local concerned citizen who was not involved in the campaign file six complaints just recently with the Illinois State Board of Election, alleging that the two PACs and the teachers union and the three candidates, that they violated Illinois campaign laws.
And this could be a tactic that the left will be taking in school board races all across Illinois.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm so grateful that this citizen did do the work to file these complaints. Because people who run for office need to follow the laws. They need to disclose properly where their money's coming from. They need to disclose it on their materials and on their yard signs. And you can't coordinate with these super PACs. Because they're allowed to accept unlimited funds, they cannot coordinate with candidates. And it looks like that's what's being alleged did happen. And so we do need to hold these folks accountable, because we need people to serve in public office who are honest and trustworthy and follow the law and will listen to all community members.
While Christians may have a tendency to focus on indoctrination and sexuality being taught in public schools, they should also be more concerned about tax policy. Mm-hmm. It seems as though the school administrators and their school board enablers are able to hide what's happening to taxpayer money. Boy, what can parents do?
So, again, it's on the school board. They're your representatives. So you need to get fiscal conservatives elected to the school board who believe in transparency. The property taxes here in Illinois are a huge issue. And the vast majority of our local property tax bill is the is the school district. And so again, it lies at the feet of the school board, who's responsible for voting every December on the tax levy. So you need to elect fiscally responsible people who keep the taxpayers in mind, because the vast majority of our school board members in Illinois are supported by the teachers union. The teachers union goes out and tries to find people to serve on these school boards so that the community's largest expense, which is the teacher's contract, isn't an actual negotiation. And all we ask is that there's an honest and fair negotiation. And that hasn't happened here in Palatine. Our elementary district just passed a 10-year contract that is completely unaffordable to the community. So I can't stress how important local school board elections are.
Vicki, you co-founded District 211, Parents for Privacy, in response to the district's bathroom and locker room policy. What's on your agenda as you move forward?
So one quick thing I want to add is it's bathrooms, locker rooms, and overnight accommodations. I just did a Freedom of Information Act request with the Illinois Department of Human Rights and found out in another district the demand was being made for overnight accommodations on a band trip to share rooms with the opposite biological sex. But what's on our agenda moving forward is to continue to work with Alliance Defending Freedom and to continue to educate people in the community. We've done target education days. Folks need to know what the policies are of the places where they spend their money. That's called a second vote. Your first vote is at the polling place. Your second vote is where you spend your money. So we've been boycotting Target and working, like I said, with Alliance Defending Freedom. I flew down to Texas to speak at a Senate committee regarding the Texas Privacy Act, because unfortunately Rep. Morrison's bill here in Illinois is stuck in committee thanks to Mike Madigan. So we're just doing whatever we can to keep this issue at the forefront.
Vicki Wilson, I think a lot of folks who may be listening to this are saying, you know, I'm concerned about what's happening in my school district, in my schools, and I'm wondering how I could start a grassroots organization similar to District 211 Parents for Privacy. What suggestions would you have? What are some of the do's and don'ts?
There was a group of us, about 10 of us, who started Parents for Privacy all together. I just happened to be the spokesperson. But we had a group before that who was already keeping an eye on the school board and involved in school board elections. If you don't have that, just start talking to your friends and like-minded other parents. Talk to people at church and start a Facebook page. It's so super quick and easy to start a Facebook page to find other people who feel the same way you do. And you can contact us on our Facebook page and we'll help you. I would say some of the don'ts are, don't get discouraged, even though the other side is extremely organized and well-funded. Don't get discouraged. God is ultimately in control. We need to keep speaking out on this and don't get overwhelmed. Make sure you, like I said, keep talking to your kids every day when they get home from school or after you get home from work, and find out what's going on in the school. Information is power. And just make sure you have all your information. Don't jump to conclusions, because you want to have credibility when you're speaking to people and know exactly what's going on. And do Freedom of Information Act requests too. Those are a great way to find information.
Do you need an attorney to get started?
No. To file a lawsuit you do, yes. But just to do a grassroots parent group or to run a school board campaign, no, absolutely you don't need an attorney for that.
Well, thank you so much. Vicki Wilson with District 211 Parents for Privacy. Vicki, how can folks connect with you?
So we're on Facebook, D211 Parents for Privacy, or you can send us an email at d211parentsforprivacy@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. Vicki Wilson, D211 Parents for Privacy. God bless and keep up the fight.
Thank you very much. And thank you to Illinois Family Institute for all of your support.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.